It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, good to see you once again. Zooming in from Arizona, which is your practice these days for the new year and going forward. And when people hear you talk about your services, that's how they contact you now for counseling anyway, through your Zoom links and other methods.
Yeah. So today, this is not a new topic. In fact, I think I might have even touched on it on the show before. But I wanted to talk, this is that time of year where we maybe talk a little bit about New Year's resolutions. I was thinking, you know, I think for a lot of people, New Year's resolutions, the whole idea of it, not everybody thinks it's a good idea to have New Year's resolutions. I think for a lot of people, it sounds like just a recipe for failure.
Yeah, I don't go in for New Year's resolutions particularly. Yeah. My wife is really into it, but I'm not taking the bait there too much.
Well, is she successful? Does she succeed?
Well, I find that no. You know, like most people, they've all pretty much fallen by the wayside by the end of January.
Yeah.
So I just don't need that.
You know, my wife, I hope she doesn't – I'm not – tell her not to – listen to this show this week, but her New Year's resolution as of December 31st at night was no more solitaire on the phone. But then by January 1st, she was playing solitaire on the phone, and so I said maybe we should work with moderation rather than total abstinence. But yeah, I think for some people, but I think that whether or not people like the idea of New Year's resolutions, everybody I think sees need for change in their life now, and so I wanted to talk a little bit more. This may be a refresher part of it, but there's some new points here that I wanted to make. And so this is a model that can be used for people if they want. This is great for New Year's resolutions, because I think that one of the things that fails with New Year's resolutions is a lot of times people don't have a method. They have an idea of something, some change that they want, but they don't have a method. And one of the things that that came to mind was a lot of times one of the things that's missing in New Year's resolutions possibly is if you set a goal, if the goals, it has to be realistic and it has to be of value. And a lot of times, certainly for the most part, I think when people set a New Year's resolution, it is something of value. But sometimes I don't think they know enough about what it is that they're going to try to achieve to know if it's a realistic goal. It has to be a realistic goal, but it has to be of value. And that's something that those two ideas, realistic and of value, that's a balance, because if you set the bar low enough, it's realistic, but it doesn't have enough value to motivate you. And sometimes if you set the bar high enough that it has enough value to motivate you, sometimes it becomes unrealistic. And so you have to know, if you're going to be successful at this, you have to know enough about, and maybe that's, you need to gather some information. Maybe you don't make your New Year's resolution on January 1st. Maybe you hold off and weigh things through the month of January. But at some point, when you talk about any kind of change that you want to make, New Year's resolution or any kind of change, it does have to be both realistic and valuable. So you have to have enough knowledge about what it is that you're going to try to achieve to know if it's a realistic goal.
So you're going to walk us through how to determine whether that's the case or not, or whether something is doable or not, or how do we determine
well,
that?
I think the way you determine it is getting information about it. This part of it, I think, is, you know, knowing yourself, of course, knowing your limitations, but a lot of change is going to challenge your limitations and push you. But I think I was talking to somebody, this is a bit of a side, but I think it's applicable. I was talking to someone recently about making some changes in the way that they interact socially. And so they had some maybe difficulties with it, and particularly in this particular case, it had to do with families and acquaintances gathering over the holidays. But it could be a social, I've learned a very similar thing in just having social assignments. Specifically, my wife was in the fundraising work for many, many years, and as a fundraiser. There were a lot of events that she sponsored that were tuxedo events, and then I kind of got dragged along as the spouse, and so at some point I had to buy a tuxedo. But I always felt that I was in way over my head because these were wealthy people with, scientists, doctors, really serious businessmen. And so it was always felt like an uphill climb to kind of get into that mix and not feel out of place. But I did learn how to do it. Was similar to this the plan that this person put together, which was when she was going to go into this social event, she wrote down she made a list of the people that might be there, and then she made a short list of things that those people might be interested in. She knew them enough to know what the topics might be, and so she sort of had a short list of questions that she might ask, and that's and it actually came off pretty good for her. She was able to ask questions, and then then that carried the conversation, and basically what that reminded me of personally, any kind of a project that I've had, a complicated project, whether it's been a car or a house or. And it's been a bit, I've had a bit of fear and trepidation about it. It's been handy sometimes to go to YouTube and watch people, what they say about it, what they've done about it, and then actually picture myself going through it and doing it myself, walking through every stage. What tools would I use? Do I have the caulking? What kind of, what, and walking through it. And, then when the time comes to take that task on, it is really very much like you have done it before. And that's not just kind of brain trickery that I guess in a way it is brain trickery, but because your brain if you've walked through it, your brain is going to treat that information as though you have done it before. So in answer to the question, how do we know if it's realistic or not? I think it's gathering information about it. And maybe you gather information and you find that what you're trying to achieve is maybe a little bit beyond you. But you can take a lesser step. You don't have to, you don't have to shoot for the moon. You can take a lesser step and so
Yeah, eat that elephant one bite at a time.
yeah.
And I
Yeah,
also,
take a
what about how does past failure figure into whether or not you should try and set that goal again?
Yeah, well, I think the answer to past failure is having an adequate method because that's probably why I failed before is because I didn't go through these steps. I
Okay.
didn't gather information first, and I didn't have a method to go through and to achieve it. So
Okay.
the first thing is to is in kind of quantifying the objective. It has to be realistic. It has to be of value. And then there's the next step to it would be, we might see that in some of the things that we some of the changes we want to make or accomplishments that we might actually see that we're kind of doing okay. If we just stay the course, what we're doing now. So somebody wants to read through the Bible in a year.
Yeah,
And
that is one
so
thing that is one thing that's on our list. Yeah.
read through the Bible in a year
We always stall
or
out
more.
at Leviticus, though.
Oh, well, I think you're probably not alone. That's
That's a tough one.
But or they might want to step up their prayer life or step up and so they're looking at how to do that. But as they examine the objective and where they are, they might find that, I really just have to step up my game a little bit. I don't have to make a lot of change in order to accomplish that. I've already been reading the scripture daily, and or I've already been taking steps toward, getting involved in a prayer group or something. So I just need to step up my, I was talking to a gal recently who has always got a full inbox of things that she needs to do around her house and then taking care of a relative that's close. And so she's got kind of like two households that she's trying to juggle and can get easily discouraged. But she's learning to count small successes as successes and say things like, I didn't do it perfect, but I improved. And so a lot of times we can look and see, because the second after I identify an objective, I have to, my next question is, do I have to change to meet that objective, or am I actually headed in the right direction? But let's say I determine that I do have to change. And I say a lot of times to people, if I'm dealing with people that have addictive behaviors, or habits that they want to break, and that is that we never change a behavior unless it costs us something we're not willing to pay. And so that takes us back to, that objective has to be valuable. There's got to be a price tag on failing at it. And so that price tag is going to be part of the motivation. And so let's say that I determine then that it's time that I do have to make this change. And then the next question would be, what kind of action would I take? And that can be asked in a number of different ways. What would be my focus? What should be my focus? What will I actually change? So what action will I take? And, one of these things, as we go through these, I apply these a lot for married couples. And if I was applying this to a married couple, going back a couple steps, the married couple could actually have this conversation about objective. Oftentimes I will get one, possibly the wife or the husband, that will want to come for counseling, marriage counseling, and maybe the spouse isn't interested yet, and they can't motivate the spouse. A good place to start to make a change, we're going to say make a change this year, a good place to start is for the two to ask the question, are we satisfied? Are we satisfied? And rarely will both people say, if one person says no, it would be rare that the other person says yes, but sometimes that'll happen. That's not a good sign. But if I ask the person, are you satisfied? And they say no, then that's a good sign, because now we can talk about what would you change? If we were going to change something, what would you change? And so that would be how a married couple could start. You could even maybe find a way to motivate your spouse just by simply asking, are you satisfied? And if you're not, what would you change? And so that would be get us down to, how would we go about changing? So we can hit, we've got a couple more steps some more to talk about on those after our
okay. comeback. Okay, making realistic change for the new year is the subject this week with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. People want to maybe get a session with you or two in the new year. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, you can call 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. As we've been mentioning, all of the sessions, the counseling sessions, are virtual now. I use the Zoom platform, so it's not complicated. People are pretty up on that nowadays. So, and then I've also got the websites, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you can find all of these radio podcasts. And I've got some articles and resources there, too, to help people out.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. Christian marriages are being attacked as never before, from outside and from within. Today more than ever before, you have to be proactive, learning to better be aware, to be more caring, and to be better communicators, recognizing and dealing with problems that are from within, from without, personal or relational. And that's where I can help you. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
along with co-host Mark Holland this week on the Sound Mind broadcast, looking at making realistic change here in the new year with Daniel. And he's been applying some of these ideas to marriage. And you've got a few more things to share, Daniel.
Yeah. I also, we had mentioned, you know, the kinds of changes that people want to make. There's always, you know, changes we want to make to habits. Of course, addictions are, you know, I always have people that are trying to, you know, get rid of addictions. Maybe there are lifestyle changes that people want to make.
Well, big ones obviously are usually weight management of some kind, exercise, some of those kinds. And those seem to be the ones from personal experience that seem to fall by the wayside the fastest for us anyway.
Yeah. And we have some points to hit on that that'll maybe be helpful here. Another thing that I think people kind of get stuck on, they'd like to make some changes. You know, personality, that is what I mean by that is, I mean, you can change your personality. Your personality is just basically how you interact with other persons. And you know, we've talked about personality on the show before, and how that the core of the personality is a defense mechanism. So a lot of, you know, I shared earlier about some social settings that were intimidating to me. And that has a lot to do with feeling safe and secure. But those things can change, but it does take a plan. And so if you're wanting to be more social, you know, one of the things I find a lot in counseling, particularly with the, you know, the 50s, 60s, 70 year olds and older, is that, you know, a lot of them lack friendships, lack close relationships. And then we've talked about also about a lot of people that find difficulty finding a church in these days. There's so many churches are, you know, the music is so upbeat and it's just a new format. And so some of these people in their 60s and 70s feel like they've been left out. And so they're looking for ways to increase their relationships. And this is a plan that will work for that too. You know, what's my objective? We talked about what do I have to change? And then what's going to be or do I have to change? What will be my focus? So you could apply this, what we're talking about here, to any of those kinds of things. The idea of what is my focus, obviously if we've decided on an objective, you know, I want to be more social. I want to have more friends. I want to improve my marriage. I want to get rid of this addiction. I want to change the lifestyle. Got some, you know, educational goals I want to meet or financial goals I want to meet. So that's my objective. And then I ascertain or I adduce or deduce whether or not I have to actually make change. Or am I going to miss that opportunity? Is it going to cost me something if I don't make change? And so, you know, let's say we've decided, no, we do have to make some changes. And then the next one would be, okay, well, what am I going to focus on? So, you know, think in terms of, I want to increase my friendships. I want to increase my social circle. What should I focus on? We want more intimacy in our marriage. What should we focus on? Or, you know, I want to break this habit. What should I focus on? And so let's say, for example, marriage, take marriage. And so they, you know, maybe the couple has decided, you know, we feel so distant. And so we have to change. So we want more trust and more intimacy in our marriage. And so that the question would be, well, what are we going to focus on? How are we going to go about doing this? What are we actually going to change? And so maybe they say, well, let's work toward being more honest. You know, we need to build trust, so we need to be more honest. And then the next one would be, okay, well, how are we going to measure that? Or you could ask, how are we going to actually proceed? Or you could ask, how will it succeed? You could ask that question a number of ways. And this involves kind of what I have down here in my notes is knowing yourself, because you have to know whether it's about this example we're using in marriage, or whether you're trying to change addictions or lose weight or whatever. You have to know where you've failed before. So you have to kind of know yourself and know your limitations. And this involves some, what I would, you know, refer to as safeguards, you know, how to ensure the success of this. I have a small note down here to remove barriers. I had a gal that I was talking to for a while, and she was a marathon runner. She would run marathon competitions regularly, but she didn't like to run, which was a little bit. I mean, she liked running in competition, but she didn't like to train, and so this was a barrier for her. And so what she did was she had a calendar, and she had written on the calendar how far she would have to run every day in order to stay in shape for the marathons. But knowing herself, she knew that that was not enough motivation, because she would look at that calendar, and then, and if she didn't run one day, then now how far does she have to run? And so it was easy to, she would cave in on it. So she did what I would call remove a barrier. And what she did was she told herself, I don't have to run. I'm just going to put on my running outfit and take a walk. and so it took the pressure off of it, knowing that she didn't like to run. And she would just tell herself, you don't have to run. Just start going. Just walk today. Don't run today. Just walk. But it never failed. Within 10 yards, she was running. And so a lot of times removing the barriers, and I've done that with projects that I've had to get done, that I've been procrastinating on. And so just walking myself through it and just saying, well, let's get rid of the barriers. You don't have to go out and work in the yard. Let's just make sure your boots still fit. You know, let's lace them up, and, you know, and is the machete still sharp? You know, where's that sharpening stone? And so I'm not really concentrating on the work yet, but I'm getting some barriers out of the way so that it's more of a downhill thing. And then first thing, you know, for me in that case, it's happened, too many times to count. First thing I know, I've been out in the yard for a couple of hours whacking away. And so I've learned that is, that's something I know where my failing is, and I know how to get over that failing, is just to tell myself, you don't have to do the work, but let's check out the tools. Let's make sure you've got the right caulking. You have a caulking gun. Yeah, you got four of those.
Right.
Everybody's got four caulking guns. Do you have any caulk? Well, I got some stuff that's dried up here. So then, you know, that would require a trip to Home Depot or something. So removing the barriers, and that's asking myself, where would it fail? Where might it go wrong? But also, are there, knowing myself, what kinds of things would encourage me? Do I need a buddy on this, on this project, you know, do I need to see some training programs or some YouTube clips, or what kinds of things encourage me and give me hope that I can actually go through with this? So finding those things. And then the final one would be just a reminder of some sort. And I've mentioned before when I've talked about change, one of the things that I've done is to make like a bookmark that has kind of a mission statement on it in cryptic form. It can be a sketch or whatever.
In cryptic form? What does that mean, in cryptic form?
Well,
it's like a skull and crossbones.
Because let's say you've got a person there that wants to break an addiction or wants to lose weight, and they don't want necessarily people to know this because it's maybe embarrassing. So they make a reminder that if someone else saw the reminder, they wouldn't know what it was. So I like the idea of, I make a bookmarker, and so I make a doodle or an image or some kind of a way of reminding my objective, the fact that I must change because of the cost, what action I'm focusing on, and how I'm actually proceeding. And so I have that mission statement, like one that I recently did. Well, just OXO, which is Order of Operation for Change. And so when I see that OXO on that bookmarker, it reminds me of, oh yes, this is an objective that I'm pursuing. I have to change. So it reminds me of all this information, all these five steps, just by that OXO. It could apply to anything. You know, maybe I'm trying to lose weight or get rid of an addiction or break a habit or something. And so somebody sees OXO and as a bookmarker, that's not going to be embarrassing for me. So People need just some way. That's why I meant by cryptic. Some way that they, something, it means something to them, but it doesn't have to be spelled out. It can be very, very short. But the key is that the more times I see that, and maybe, you know, I'd ask the question, what things would encourage me? That might be one of the things, is to make a bookmark so that when I see that every night when I read before I go to sleep, and I see that, and that reminds me to stay on task and keep pursuing, and we will achieve. So I think the failure often comes because people don't have that kind of a plan of action. And so that's something that can be applied in many different ways. In fact, it is a kind of a basic business model. I've talked to so many businessmen about changing, and they remark when we go through these steps that we use a very similar business model. I think it's a method that works. It takes some thought, you know, and you have to fill in all the gaps and fill in the questions and do some thinking about it and make your plan.
Okay.
Looking
at realistic ways to make change here in the new year with Daniel Pryor. And if you'd like to find out more about his services, maybe that's one of your New Year's resolutions, as they say, is to get some counseling in some area of your life. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, you can call 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. And then also a reminder, you should know that all the services are virtual. And that actually works pretty good. I mean, there are some situations that don't work. I would let people know up front about that. But I have not personally run into something that hasn't worked for that with that Zoom. It actually works out pretty well. So,
okay, life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor and the Sound Mind broadcast on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.